tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 13th of May 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we've got a couple of articles exposing the ridiculousness of political correctness, I guess is the best way to describe it, and also an attack on free speech. The first article I've got comes from GB News and its title is Incredibly Authoritarian! Exclamation mark. Outrage as GCSE textbook teaches pupils to use freedom of speech but not to offend. So how is there any freedom of speech if they're being told that they're not allowed to offend? That's not freedom of speech, is it? That means restricting speech out of concerns that somebody else might be offended. If you're a vegan, you might be offended at somebody wearing a leather pair of shoes. Does that mean we should not wear leather pairs of shoes in case a vegan might be offended? And that's the sort of argument that we are being told by these people that say that we have freedom of speech, but we're just not allowed to offend anybody. Anyway, a couple of years back, the police, I forget which police service it was, which part of the country it was, they had a big poster saying it is against the law to give offence. It is against the law to offend somebody. And then they had to take this poster down because it's not against the law to offend somebody. What we should be teaching people is to accept that some people might have views which we might find offensive, but that in Britain we have a democracy and we have a plurality of views. And if you disagree with somebody's views, you should point out your own views or argue with them, but you certainly shouldn't expect them to not voice their views, to keep silent. And it says in the book of Acts, when St. Paul is on trial, and he says, we can but speak what we have seen and heard. And that's effectively what people are doing. They're saying, I have seen with my own eyes the problems that are occurring in this country, and I am raising a warning about it, and I wish to speak about it. And then they're being told, oh well, you're not allowed to say that, you're not allowed to describe what you see in your own words, you can only describe what you see in the words that we tell you to use. And of course that's going to be very difficult for people that don't spend all their time doing this and learning the ways to actually talk about these issues so that you can't be accused of using hate speech. We don't have any freedom of speech in Britain, regardless of what Keir Starmer says. What he says when he says, oh, we have a proud tradition of free speech in Britain, what he means by free speech is speech that his government and the governments before him haven't already censored and decided is hate speech. If you have such a term as hate speech, then you don't have free speech, do you? Because if you're going to say that somebody's free speech is actually hate speech, and then you're going to make things such as hate speech against the law, then you don't have freedom of speech. And what is hate speech? Well, the courts will say, well, we look at the dictionary definition of hate, overwhelming dislike. How can we tell whether somebody has an overwhelming dislike? Well, we can't, but we can tell if they're being hateful. If you look at the dictionary definition for hateful, it says abusive, insulting, or threatening. Therefore, if we find any words which you use to be insulting, abusive, or threatening, then that is hate speech. And of course, this is where the problem lies, because words change over time. 20 years ago, you could abbreviate the word Pakistani and it wasn't seen as insulting. Nowadays, in Britain, it's seen as insulting. It's not seen as insulting in other parts of the world. It's certainly not seen as insulting in Pakistan or America, for instance. But it is seen as insulting in Britain. And if you use that term to describe what you see when you're describing things such as the industrial-scale rape by grooming gangs, and you then abbreviate the word Pakistani, then they're going to say that that's insulting and you could be sent to jail. And that means we don't have freedom of speech. If you're not allowed to explain what you see in your own words, you have to use somebody else's words, then we don't have freedom of speech. And this is directly being taught to children in schools, that they need to be censoring themselves rather than speaking. I'm reminded of a video I saw recently, Professor Edward Dutton video. And it was his Jamaican associate, his colleague, Lipton. And he was, I think it was either Oxford or Cambridge. Oh, no, sorry, I'm getting mixed up here. It wasn't that one. It was Professor Edward Dutton. And he went to a predominantly white town in the Midlands. And he ended up talking to some youngsters there that were, I guess, 14, 15. They were at secondary school. And he said that they were talking about politics, concerns about immigration, all sorts of sensible things. And the parents called the police and came chasing after him because they were so concerned that because these were effectively unfiltered views, that what these children said could get them into trouble. I mean, and that's a really damning indictment of Britain, where you cannot have youngsters speaking freely because it could end up ruining the rest of their lives. I mean, that means we don't have freedom of speech. And Edward Dutton did the right thing, and he blurred their features and removed a bit from the video. And it's quite correct that he did that, because it could have caused these children big problems if they were speaking freely, which effectively means you cannot speak freely in Britain. So we don't have freedom of speech. And as I say, this is being taught in the schools. Let's have a look at this article here. Outrage has kicked off after a GCSE textbook taught pupils to use freedom of speech, but not to offend. Paul Embry, a trade unionist and writer, has condemned a GCSE revision book after he discovered it detailed how a citizen's responsibility is to exercise freedom of speech, but not to offend. I mean, I would say that it's a citizen's responsibility not to be offended by what people say, to understand that they may have had a different life experience than you. So if they're going to have strongly held beliefs about something, it's because they believe those beliefs to be truthful. And you cannot have a right to say that people are not allowed to express their true opinions. And that's effectively what we're saying. We need to have a tolerance of other people's views in Britain. I mean, they like to talk about tolerance as far as homosexuality is concerned, but they never talk about having tolerance of other people's views. They're completely intolerant of other people's views. They will say that other people's views should be deplatformed. People should be deplatformed. They should be debanked. They should not be allowed to speak in public because they have a different viewpoint on things such as immigration. And this Paul Embry, a trade unionist, this is a leftist that is saying this. He made the discovery while helping his child with some revision for their citizenship studies exam, something Mr. Embry took particular interest in, as it covers politics, government, social issues and democracy. In a subheading called Citizens' Responsibilities, the Pearson Revised Book for Citizenship Studies GCSE states that citizens have certain responsibilities to use freedom of speech, but not offend. Well, how can you have that in the same sentence? I mean, you do not have freedom of speech if you are not allowed to offend, because somebody is always going to be offended. They're always going to find something that they could be offended about. You cannot just censor yourself because there's a small chance that somebody might be offended. But what you can do is build up your patience and your tolerance and be tolerant of other people having a different point of view. I mean, that's what a democracy is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about a plurality of different views and the best views are going to rise to the surface. And this is what we used to have with the internet. It used to be very, very democratic. You used to search for something in the search results, and you would get the search results for the most popular answer. Nowadays, you don't get that because that's democratic. And nowadays, what you get is you get the answer that the government wants you to see. You don't get the most popular answer that most people have decided is the correct one, or that most people are interested in. You see what the government wants you to see. You see the BBC news story on it, or the Sky News story on it. Or if you look up a subject on YouTube, then you'll get mainstream media. You won't get an independent documentary maker's answer on what is it that, for instance, what is it that Holocaust deniers discuss. You're not going to get the actual most viewed results of that when you're looking on Google. You're going to get some documentary talking about how anti-Semitism needs to be rooted out and stopped, or Holocaust denial needs to be stopped. It won't actually tell you what it is that these people are discussing, because they want to censor it, because we don't have free speech. And it used to be, if you typed in gas chambers into Google, the most viewed search result for that was a forum post on Stormfront. And because of this, they changed it, because they said, well, we don't want people seeing this post on Stormfront, which explains what the questions are regarding the World War II story that people have. We don't want them to see that. So they broke the internet. They broke the search engine. As I say, up until that point, the internet was fairly democratic. And that's the way things are supposed to work in society. If you have free speech, and people are free to talk about things, are free to discuss their ideas, then the ideas that gain traction are going to be good ideas. I mean, this falls to the wisdom of crowds, and that's what democracy is based upon. It's supposed to be the wisdom of crowds. But if people are not free to express their ideas, you're not going to hear certain ideas. And it might be that those certain ideas are the correct ones and are the correct way that society should go. So it's very important, if you claim to have a democracy, that you also have freedom of speech. But if you're being told you're not allowed to offend anyone, then clearly you don't have freedom of speech. You're not being taught that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, for instance. And that's what I was taught when I was at school. Nowadays, people are taught that mean words are a crime. And mean words are an excuse to violently attack somebody because they said a word that you didn't like. They said a racist word. So I had to attack them because they were engaged in a crime by talking about how they really feel about grooming gangs. For instance, if you're going to say that it's a terrible crime, hate speech is a terrible crime, you're saying words themselves are a terrible crime. And therefore, if somebody hears somebody using one of these words, then they are entitled to physically stop that person using those words. They could beat them up. There are instances where somebody stabbed somebody and they were not prosecuted for the stabbing because they said, well, the person used the N-word. And this was in America. So they've already set a precedent that if you use a word that they don't particularly like, then a member of the public is entitled to stab you effectively in America. That's not a democracy, is it? That's not freedom if you're not free to express your views. Mr. Embry said it was quite chilling as he read the book, describing the sentiment as incredibly authoritarian. Speaking to GB News, Mr. Embry said, that particular bullet point hit me. It was quite chilling, actually. Essentially, you are entitled to use freedom of speech so long as it doesn't upset anyone. Well, you're never going to get any changes, are you, if you're not allowed to ever say anything that's going to upset anyone? I mean, this is extreme nanny state, isn't it? I would say it's a very female way of looking at things, of making sure that nobody gets upset. Everybody is part of the group, as it were, and they keep their concerns to themselves, whereas the male way to do things is to have a debate rather than to build a consensus, is to have a debate. We like to compete. We like to debate, whereas women would rather conspire and get everybody as part of the group. It's a different way of doing things. So I would say that it's quite an instance of feminism, really, to have restrictions on freedom of speech and restrictions on what people say because it might upset someone if you speak your true thoughts. He continued, I find this incredibly authoritarian. Students should not be taught that. He further warned that teaching children such positions could mean they might gag themselves when it is important they do not, particularly where it concerns their safety. And again, this, I'm sure, this has caused problems in the past, hasn't it? I mean, we did a podcast a while back where we brought up three instances where there had been public inquiries about horrendous thing happening, such as the Manchester bombing or the Southport murders. And there was another one from about 20 years before that. And in every case, those horrific things would not have happened if somebody had not thought to themselves, well, I can't say that because it's racist. I can't point out that that person over there looks like a suicide bomber because it's Islamophobic. We can't refer this black person to the police with a knife because he's a black person and because black people are overrepresented in crime statistics. Therefore, we are engaging in racism here. We're engaging in stereotyping a black boy with a knife. That was the exact words, I believe, that were used when the head teacher tried to report Axel Ruder Cabana for having a knife and saying this man is dangerous, this boy is dangerous. And because they didn't investigate, because they didn't want to be seen as racist, he went on and murdered those schoolgirls. Horrific murders. So many times people have gagged themselves out of fear of appearing to be racist when it's important that they don't, when it concerns their safety. The trade union has said there will definitely be scenarios where children will think they are going to cause offence and consequently they might gag themselves. Well, it's not just children, is it? Everybody is now self-censoring and falling over themselves to use the correct words to describe certain groups of people. He indicated that teaching children such a position might encourage the phenomenon a heckler's veto, where a speaker is silenced unilaterally by a party that disagrees with their message. And that is effectively what we have going on when somebody doesn't like what somebody has said before and they've been invited to speak at a university, they'll say, oh, well, this is going to make me feel unsafe. What about all the immigrants that come to this university? You're going to be making them unsafe by inviting on this person who has right-wing views. If you invite him on, we're all going to protest. And the speech gets cancelled. That's a heckler's veto. I talked about it the other day where the British government have tried to do something about this happening on universities now. And they have said that there is this guarantee of free speech. And anybody who is pressured into not speaking at a university, then this can be reported and the university can be fined. But that only applies to academics that have been asked to speak there. It doesn't actually apply to the people that are at that university anyway. University students are too frightened to say if they have conservative views or right-wing views. They've done studies, questionnaires, surveys that show this, that people are too frightened to express their views at universities now. And this is in the supposedly free country of Britain. Mr. Embury believes the teaching sends the wrong message. Telling GB News, it says you live in a society where your right to express your views is fettered to someone else's right to be offended. Now, I'm not saying we should go around being deliberately offensive. I think we should always be polite. We should not use vulgarities. We shouldn't be swearing. We shouldn't be trying to offend people. But we should be able to express our views. And if you're trying to win somebody over to your viewpoint, it's not going to benefit you to be using offensive language and vulgarities. It's going to be far more likely that you'll win them to your viewpoint if you present a concise, measured argument. But that's not what they're saying here. They're saying the argument itself could be seen as offensive. For instance, if you're talking about the link between ethnicity and crime, or the link between ethnicity and IQ, they could say, well, that topic in itself could be seen as offensive by a black person. They might think that you're saying that they're all criminals, even though that is not what you're saying. But they might perceive it in that way. So you'd better not talk about it. You'd better not talk about these statistics. You better not talk about that being a possible reason why we have such a massive increase in crime in the country. So by preventing free speech, you prevent people from even identifying what the problem is in the first place. And this is one of the things that people say about this problem with having laws against anti-Semitism, having laws against criticism of Jews. It means that you're not able to, or that it's very difficult to point out the Jewish influence that there is within society. I mean, there are some cases where people have been, for instance, they've been against George Soros and they've been accused of being anti-Semites, or they've been against immigration. And again, they've been accused of being anti-Semites because it's Jews that pushed for more migration, predominantly Jewish voices that pushed for more migration in the media. They'll say that it's anti-Semitic. I mean, recently in America, Jewish organizations claimed that it was anti-Semitic to prevent abortion, that the Supreme Court's ruling on Roe versus Wade, which was effectively that it's up to the states themselves to decide whether they legalize abortion or not. Hundreds of Jewish societies made a statement saying that abortion was effectively the equivalent of a Jewish sacrament, and therefore the people that were against this were all anti-Semites for being against it. So you can see there that this fear of actually pointing out what the problem is, just doing that in itself, you're not able to define where the problem is coming from, because that would be seen as anti-Semitic or racist to point out that it's Jews that advocate for abortion, or it's predominantly Jews that advocate for gay marriage and things like that. I mean, these facts can be shown. There's plenty of evidence to show that. But you would be accused of being an anti-Semite if you put it in a negative way. For instance, if you're saying, oh, it's a negative thing that there's gay marriage, well, that would be anti-Semitic. If you say, oh, well, it's a positive thing that there's gay marriage, then that would be okay. If you're saying that, and it's Jews that are responsible for it, again, if it's in a positive way, they would say that was okay. But if it was in a negative way, they'd say, oh, well, that isn't. That's anti-Semitism. You know, this is the problem with making laws to protect particular groups in society. How about we just give protections to every group in society by not having any specialized groups, by not having any laws that prevent criticism of certain ethnic groups? I mean, it's madness, really. It just means that you're giving these ethnic groups a license to do horrendous things, because you know that the majority of the population will be prevented from pointing to these horrendous things. And people don't seem to think about that. And I'm not saying that ethnic minorities do horrendous things, but the fact that we have these laws which say that we're not allowed to say that means that they could do, doesn't it? It means that they could carry out horrendous acts. And instead of that being investigated when people talk about it, the people pointing it out get arrested. I mean, we've seen this instance with the grooming gangs. It's the people that complain about the grooming gangs that get arrested. It's the people that complain about the rapes of the young girls outside the immigrant hotels. They're the people that get arrested. The immigrants that carry out the rapes, they might not even get any prison time, as we heard last week. Afghan rapist of a schoolgirl was not given any prison time, wasn't even given a suspended sentence, but was told, oh, you have to go on lessons on consent. Whereas the people that point to the high instance of refugee rape of our children, they run the risk of going to prison for pointing that out. They'll be accused of being far right, and their political opponents will seek to silence them by calling them far right and by calling them racist for pointing out facts. So this is the problem with having these groups in society that you're not allowed to criticise, even when they do horrendous things. Particularly when they do horrendous things, because then it's being told, oh, that's particularly insulting because you're saying that a Muslim carried this out. That's insulting to all Muslims. But then if you have a higher proportion of Muslims that are carrying out a certain act, then that needs to be looked at, because clearly there's a problem within that particular community if they are overrepresented in those particular crimes. But for pointing that out, they could say, oh, well, that's hate speech. not allowed to say these things. That's Islamophobic. You're being anti-Muslims. This is the problems inherent with not having freedom of speech. Citizenship Studies is a GCSE introduced on the UK's syllabus in 2002, exploring political science subjects such as democracy, justice, equality, rights, responsibilities, freedoms, identity, and diversity, according to the Department of Education. Well, what does democracy, justice, rights, freedoms, what does that have to do with diversity? Diversity is the government policy, isn't it? Multiculturalism. Multiculturalism shouldn't have anything to do with democracy. When they invented democracy in Athens, they said that a way to subvert a democracy is to have multiculturalism, to have multiple ethnicities. Democracy doesn't work if you have multiple ethnicities, because they will vote for their own ethnicity. And that seems to be true, doesn't it? This is why we have Sadiq Khan as the mayor of London, who's not very competent, to say the least, but he is a Muslim, he is non-white, and London is majority non-white. So clearly there's a correlation there, at least, whether it's a cause or not, there's a correlation there. And this happens a lot of the time, doesn't it? When you have a majority non-white area of the country, they will vote for a non-white representative. That's because people side with their ethnicity. Of course, white people have been propagandized into thinking it's racist to do something like that. So we don't vote for the white person. And this is why we have these problems, because we don't vote for anybody that specifically advocates for our people. And when somebody stands up and says, I'm going to advocate for white people, they're accused of being racist. And you'll have the mainstream media and the government trying to silence them. In the subject content paper published in May 2022, the Department of Education said citizenship studies should enable students to deepen their knowledge of democracy and government, the law, rights and responsibilities, and how we live together in society. Well, I don't think it does deepen the knowledge of democracy. It gives a false idea of what democracy is if it's telling you you're not allowed to say anything that could offend anyone. However, the particular phrasing about freedom of speech sparked such outrage within Mr. Embury that he took to social media to express his concern. Alongside a picture of the text in question, Mr. Embury wrote, "Helping number two child with GCSE citizenship revision. Get a load of this." Since he published the post on X, many have weighed in on the revision book's guidance, voicing their views. Toby Young, director of the Free Speech Union, called for Pearson to reference the famous speech from Lord Justice Sedley on freedom of expression in their book. The Tory peer said, "If children are being taught in school that the right to free speech doesn't include the right to be offensive, then God help us. I hope in future Pearson's revision guide will include the famous words of Lord Justice Sedley in a landmark free speech case. Quote, free speech includes not only the inoffensive, but the irritating, the contentious, the eccentric, the heretical, the unwelcome, and the provocative, provided it does not tend to promote violence. Freedom only to speak inoffensively is not worth having." Close quote. And they do stick to that in America. It is only incitement to violence which is illegal. And that is the way it should be in Britain. It should only be incitement to violence that is illegal. Instead, we've made it illegal to use out-of-date terminology and abbreviations. The speech Mr. Young references is from the landmark case Redmond Bate v. Director of Public Prosecutions in 1999, which affirmed that freedom of speech includes the right to be irritating, provocative and offensive, so long as it does not incite violence. Baroness Claire Fox of Buckley, a non-affiliated peer, also weighed in on the revision row. Responding to the Post, the Baroness said, "Socialising kids in school to believe that they have the right not to be offended. And we wonder why we have a free speech deficit in younger generations. It is partly the GCSE curriculum. What done it?" Well, it's not just the curriculum, is it? It's the whole of society. It promotes this idea that you have a right not to be offended. And if somebody complains about something, says they were offended by something, say on YouTube, then they'll lose their channel. If you're offended by something on Twitter, you used to lose your Twitter account. Same with Facebook. It's no wonder that people think they have the right not to be offended, when we keep showing that if somebody is offended by something, that they can get that other person debanked or deplatformed. Adrian Hilton, a conservative academic specialising in political philosophy and political theology, echoed Mr. Young's sentiment, also mentioning Lord Justice Sedley's famous speech. I'd like to have a look at the rest of that speech, actually. I might look that up after recording this. He warned, a competent teacher of citizenship would inform their pupils that this is a common misconception. But the teacher can't do that, though, can they? Because this is in the school syllabus. One member of the public responded to Mr. Emery's post on X, writing, not only is that an oxymoron, but to adhere to the latter, you must defang the former. Freedom of speech is absolutely the freedom to offend. Schools should not be pushing this as presented. A Department of Education spokesman said, teaching children a range of viewpoints is vital, but our impartiality guidance is clear that all materials used by schools must be accurate, age-appropriate, and teachers must provide a balanced presentation of views where political issues are covered. Well, that doesn't address the point at all, does it? Because it's in the official school book. So what it says here, they must ensure that all the materials used by the schools must be accurate. Well, they can't say that the school's book, the school syllabus book, is inaccurate, can they? They have to teach what's in the book. And this is the problem. It's the book itself. It's the syllabus itself that is at fault. Schools are free to include a full range of issues, ideas, and materials in their curriculum, including where they are challenging or controversial, subject to their obligations to ensure political balance. Well, that isn't what this book is teaching, is it? As an independent organisation, it is up for Pearson EdXL to decide on the content of their materials. So they're saying it's up to the people that publish the book if they want to put something in there, which goes against the values of democracy, but sadly seems to be the values that most people seem to have today. They don't seem to think any further than, oh, I feel that I shouldn't be offended. I shouldn't have to hear that. They don't think about what the results of that could actually be, of not speaking up out of a fear that you might be accused of being racist. So the end results of that is the Manchester Arena bombing. It's the Southport murders. It's the grooming gang cases where people didn't want to speak up because they thought they would be seen as Islamophobic for pointing out that these grooming gangs were predominantly made up of Muslims. I mean, there's countless examples of where people have censored themselves because they've been too frightened of offending people, too frightened of appearing racist, and they don't bring up these points, these very important points that needed to be brought up. I think we have to have a whole new look at freedom of speech, and sadly, the government are doing the complete opposite of that. They want to increase the so-called hate crime legislation, which a lot of people think is an actual crime. It's violence, but no. What they mean by hate crime is words, effectively, and they want to make it even stricter, rather than have a look at it and see whether we should get rid of this insulting, threatening, or abusive clause and just go back to violence, no incitement of violence. I mean, that's what you need to have, and you need to teach people to be tolerant of other people having different views to yourself. That's so important if you live in a democracy. And we're being taught the opposite. We're being taught, no, you need to be intolerant. And you yourself have a right not to be offended. I mean, it's just a recipe for chaos, isn't it? A recipe for lots of violence to occur when people hear things that they're not used to hearing. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.